just going to open in prayer. Lord God, I stand here today bringing your word and not my own. Lord Jesus, I pray that the delivery is how you want it to be, Lord God, that the words that I've written out is what you want to say, Lord Jesus, that the people that you want to hear this message are here today, Lord God, and that their ears and hearts are open, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with slide one. My topic today is childlike faith. From beginning to end, God speaks about the importance of children through his word. He also speaks about the importance of being childlike. Today we're going to look at what God expects of us in his command for us to be like children. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 to 6. So Matthew chapter 18 verses 2 to 6 says, "He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea.'" He's so dramatic when he speaks, isn't Jesus? Really likes to push his point home. So what does Jesus mean when he says, "Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven"? Does that mean as adults we don't get to enter heaven? What is it that is so important about the character of children? The Bible talks about the power of the faith of a child. Can I have the next slide, please? Psalm chapter 8 verse 2 says, "Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." Why is the praise of children so powerful that it can keep enemies away? It could be because of the strength of their faith and their uninhibited love for God. The definition of inhibited means unable to act in a relaxed and natural way because of self-consciousness or mental restraint. So when you're inhibited, you're unable to act in a relaxed and natural way because of self-consciousness or mental restraint. Put your hand up if you struggle with that when it comes to sharing your faith. Self-consciousness kicks in, mental restraint kicks in. Children are rarely inhibited, unless they have been shaped or taught to be that way. My son is known for regularly telling women, random women, that they are beautiful and for sparking conversations with adults almost everywhere he goes. He surprised me the other day when we visited my nana in her new nursing home. He stopped in the middle of a conversation, closed his eyes, raised one of his hands, I forgot to tell you this, and said a quick prayer out loud, asking God to make Nana feel better. He could sense she was anxious about being in a nursing home. I watched my daughter at the beach one day when she was little. I stood on the shore while she played in the water. I watched her move closer to another girl who was similar in age. They began playing together and talking. They played together for quite a while, and as we were leaving, Bridget exclaimed, "Mum, she's my new best friend. Can you please get her phone number so we can play again?" Everything inside me scrunched up and said, "That's awkward, no." But children don't seem to have the fear of rejection that we have. They don't seem to care what people around them think of them until they get a bit older and the world starts to shape them that way. We need to praise God, letting go of any inhibitors. We need to serve God without fear and doubt. To do this, our confidence needs to not be in ourselves, but in God. Our confidence should not be in ourselves, but it should always be in God. If God wants us to be childlike, then we need to know what his perception of children is and what he expects of us as his children. The Bible has a number of scriptures throughout it expressing God's will for raising children. Next slide. Colossians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Bear with me. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him." And Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." And you may be thinking, what has this got to do with me? I'm a grown up. I do my own thing. My parents don't tell me what to do anymore. But these scriptures explain that children need to be disciplined and obedient to the instruction of God. Does that mean anything to us? Children are born sinners because they are human. Humans need instruction and guidance to know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. Because we are already adults, this instruction does not come from our earthly parents, but it comes from listening to God and studying the Word of God. We still need to be instructed, we still need to be disciplined, and we still need to be guided. When I think of a child, I work with children, so obviously I love them. I think of a little person who has vulnerability and trust, who has joy, who has curiosity and a capacity to learn and grow. A little person whose ability to forgive quickly and fully and to love without reservation is amazing. I wonder if God, as a father, sees us all like this. Maybe as new Christians we are like this, but as time goes on we fall into the trap of hardening our hearts and closing our minds. Instead of looking at the world in wonder through child's eyes, we turn our eyes inward and begin to focus on our wants, our needs, our goals and our hurts. Next slide, please. Most little children... Most, I say, because I know a few that have. Most little children have not yet been emotionally hurt or let down. They haven't faced too much disappointment. They have not normally felt unloved and unwanted. They haven't felt loneliness and they haven't been neglected. Most. God wants us to let the pain of our past go and to only rely on Him and not other people as our Father, our Protector, our Provider and our safe place. Biblical childlike qualities include faith, number one. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Number two, expectation and hope. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen, that what we hope for will actually happen." It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Number three, wonder. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." I'm just like, I think you've said it a few times, where you watch those documentaries with, what's that English guy's name? David Attenborough. How could I forget? We watched one the other night. Anyway, you watch those documentaries and you look at the way he proclaims God's amazing power, that he proclaims it through every little fine detail in the natural world. He just doesn't know he's doing it. It's the wonder of the world. The way this bee, we watched, it's on Netflix the other night, a new series, it's really good, where this bee goes into a flower, the flower drips this oil on the bee, it sticks the bee into the flower, he's got no other way to get out of the flower than through a tiny tunnel. On the way out of that tunnel, he picks up the sacks of pollen. from the flower. And that is how the flower breeds, or you know what I mean. But it's amazing. Wouldn't it feel refreshing to look at the world through these eyes every day? To let go of any hurt and any disappointment, to be full of faith and expectation and wonder once more, to embrace God and live freely like a child. With God we can. Next slide, please. The Bible is essentially a handbook and guide that we can follow and live by. It's a tale of people who have been there before us and lessons that have been learned by others who too strive to be like Jesus. Let's explore some of the children of the Bible and the qualities they displayed. Can you guess from that picture who I'm about to talk about? David with his harp. That's not how I picture David when I read the Bible story. Okay, David was the youngest son in his family. As a child, he was always left on his own to take care of the sheep. And this meant defending the sheep from predators such as lions and bears. Where are they in that holy picture? He would do this with a simple slingshot. Because he practiced so much with his slingshot, he soon became really good at hitting the beast between the eyes. Now, there's so much more to David's story. Everyone knows the story of David and Goliath. Then David grows up and he's awesome. But we're only looking at this tiny snapshot. From this snapshot of his life, we see David displaying bravery. He was on his own, in the fields, and lions and bears were coming close to him, attracted by the sheep. He would have known that he was in those fields for a reason, and he would have known that the reason was to keep the lions and bears away. Would you still go? That would be too scary for me. David showed an innocent sort of bravery. When children are not aware of the dangers because of their lack of experience, they can often be braver than adults who overthink and overanalyze things. Number two, David displays perseverance. I can't imagine that David was any good at his aim and his slingshot skills when he first started out. Generally, we're not natural experts at different things. David practiced a lot to become so good with his slingshot. As adults, we can often give up if we're not good at something from the first go. We can see it as a waste of our time and argue that we have better things to do. We can always get distracted by the mountain of other things on our to-do list. As a child, though, nothing else matters except that one thing that is your interest or your hobby at that moment. Number three, the Bible talks about the fact that David had a close relationship with God. He talked to God and listened when God spoke to him. We can learn from this by putting God at the forefront of our thoughts. God should be our number one, all day, every day. I can imagine it was pretty quiet and a little bit boring for David out in the fields alone, all day, every day. And what can we learn from this? Instead of filling up our time, we can make time to be quiet and still with God. We can talk to God, we can listen to God, and we can grow in our relationship with God. And like I said, David goes on to do marvelous things, but my point is, without David having the childlike qualities that he did, he wouldn't have had that relationship with God that he did. He wouldn't have had the skills that he had, and he wouldn't have been able to be used in God's plan for the Israelites to defeat the Philistines. Next slide, please. Another child we can look at in the Bible is Joseph. He was the second to youngest child in the family, and God showed him two specific dreams. The next morning, he boldly told his family about his dreams. The dreams made his brothers feel jealous because they portrayed different things bowing down to Joseph. Joseph was already the favorite child, and this made the brothers so angry with him that they wanted to kill him. This small snapshot of Joseph's life can teach us that children are not reserved. Children don't hold back on account of what others may think of them. The Bible doesn't tell us whether Joseph knew the others were angry at him, but I'm sure he probably felt their unkindness and their anger. In our family, we call this having no filter. Doesn't matter what the circumstances around you are, I'm going to say it anyway because it's popped into my head. Children have a sense of innocence. That means they don't hold back from being honest about things. Sometimes we see this as a bad thing, and we try our best to stop ourselves from blurting things out as adults, and rightly so. Sometimes we can offend people, so what we're thinking is not the right thing to say. However, when we look at this from a faith point of view, we can become too reserved with sharing our faith. God will sometimes drop words into our minds that we need to share, or he tells us to do something in a specific moment, and instead of being immediately obedient, we filter it. We question whether God wants us to actually do this. We wonder how the person on the receiving end will react. We worry about how we will feel as we put ourselves out there in a vulnerable situation. Joseph sharing his dreams with his brothers played an important part in a huge demonstration of God's power and authority. My point in visiting the childhood of Joseph is when it comes to sharing our faith, we need to take away our filter. If we hold back in sharing our faith, then we are responsible for affecting a much larger part of God's plan. Next slide, please. Keep stepping on that pen. Samuel. Samuel was born after many years of his mother Hannah trying to have a baby. One year she promised God that if he blessed her with a baby, she would dedicate the baby to him. When Samuel was old enough, Hannah took him to the tabernacle, or a church nowadays, to live with Eli the priest. The Bible says that Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. Eli had not had the same effect on his sons as he had had on Samuel. While Samuel ministered to the Lord, Eli's sons refused to listen to the voice and rebuke of their father, and it was the Lord's will to put them to death. But Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. Eli's sons did not know the Lord because they did not want to know him. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, but he wanted to know him. He sought his voice. Samuel even sought God more than the priest Eli. Samuel decided to sleep in the tabernacle while Eli went and slept in his bed. One night, Eli was sleeping in bed while Samuel chose to sleep in the temple, and Samuel heard a voice calling to him. Samuel went to Eli and asked what he wanted from him. Eli told him to go back to bed. This happened three times until Eli realized that God was trying to talk to Samuel. Eli instructed Samuel to respond to God and tell God to speak because he was listening. God gave Samuel a very important message that night. Samuel has taught us to be childlike in seeking God with expectation. Children haven't been let down many times in their short time on earth, and so they have an expectation that things will happen, that they will see results. Mark chapter 10 teaches us that it's in having childlike faith that we will receive the kingdom of God. Childlike faith is what fills us with the unshakable hope that we will one day dwell in heaven with our Father for all of eternity. As Christians, we've placed all our hope in the truth that Jesus came, died, and rose again, and that if we place our trust in him, we will have a resurrection like his. We succeed in having childlike faith when it comes to salvation, but we often fail in placing our trust in our Heavenly Father on a daily basis. Being a child of God affords us the opportunity to live under his constant provision and leadership. As our good Father, he longs to provide for us a wonderfully abundant life, full of joy, full of peace, full of purpose, laughter, friends, and unconditional love. But so often we go our own way and live our lives apart from all that's available to us in God, whether it be by a lack of revelation, by impatience, fear, wrong teaching, or past experiences. We so often fail to have faith that God will shepherd us to his perfect plans. God is calling you to a greater lifestyle of childlike faith. He is calling you to place your trust in him alone for your finances, for your relationships, for your future, your past, and your present. Just to go over it again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him," to please God. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. What brings our Father pleasure is unadulterated, unveiled, and glorious relationship with his children. He longs for us to draw near to him with full assurance that he is good, he is real, and that he longs to bless us." Can the musicians please come? Next slide, please. So in summary, God wants us to be childlike. The first point is God wants us to be brave. The second is he wants us to persevere. He wants us to depend on and build relationship with God. He wants us to get rid of our filter when it comes to sharing our faith. And lastly, he wants us to have faith, to seek God and be responsive with expectation that God will use us. The last song really affected me because we had been talking about whether we would go. If God sent us somewhere, would we go? And I think if it was a massive move, if it was so clear that it was spoken into your lives and into your husband or wife's lives that you were meant to move to this place that's across the oceans and leave everything and go, it would be clear. You would have to do it. That in obedience to God, you would have to do it. But so often, he calls us to do the small things. He calls us to do the thing, be in the mission field locally. And I think that would be harder. Harder to know whether that's exactly what God wants. Harder to give up all of our things because it's only next door. It's not across the oceans. But God wants to heal our wounds of things we have faced in our life, to give us a clean slate, to refresh our faith, and for us to rely on him like a child would to their father. I'm just going to close in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak your word today. Lord, I pray that these words have fallen on open ears, Lord Jesus, that it's touched lives today, Lord, that it's what people needed to hear this morning. I pray that you have planted these seeds that then build up a passion and encourage us to go out and do God's will, to encourage us to go out and be brave for God. In Jesus' name, amen.